You know, last week we promised you Todd Yeagley. This week, and even with the holiday right around the corner, the Indiana men's soccer coaches found time for us today after two NCAA tournament victories, knocking off Lipscomb 2-1 back on the 16th of November to get the NCAA tournament first round kicked off. The reward for Todd Yeagley's Hoosiers, a road trip to Tobacco Road and Spry Field and the 10th overall seed Wake Forest Demon Deacons. And after, let's see, 90 plus 110 minutes of a thrill, a minute football, the Hoosiers in overtime, 3-2 victors, and on to the round of 16 coming up this Sunday as the ACC Coastal Bracket continues. We will move up the street to Charlottesville, Virginia, the 7th overall seed. Virginia Cavaliers will be hosting the Hoosiers 1 o'clock on Sunday. Well, that was a pretty fun weekend, buddy. Two-to-room turkey. Congratulations, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Thank you. Yeah, we were it was an unbelievable match, Glass, and so many of our friends and alums and friends of IU and just, you know, supporters of IU, whether you're a huge soccer person or not. I mean, so many people were commenting on how enjoyable and also just what great, you know, character the guy showed. It's, you know, to be in the tournament and to get, you know, down twice against, you know, arguably one of the most talented teams in the country at their place. Goes a long way, but this group's been in a lot of those games, and they're leaning on that experience. And as a coach, that was just one of the more enjoyable games I've been a part of to celebrate with the guys. And soon after we won, you know, the talk of, you know, let's enjoy some Thanksgiving together. Always a sign of a really good season because you know you're in the deep tournament stages, and we get to go back to the two room. We had a little break from the tutor room, COVID and other things, and the boys are excited. So we will be at the tutor room on Thanksgiving and having a nice meal and then get right back to training and get our way to Charlottesville.
And an exciting two-match weekend. It's the first time you've played the first match in the tournament since, what, 2013? So that has been a while. Did you feel the rust knocker offer helped you? Because we knew going down to Winston-Salem that Wake Forest finished their year with a loss in the ACC tournament and two draws to close their regular season. So they kind of had to sit around and think about it. And I bet they're really thrilled to see you guys when the bracket came up last Monday.
Yeah, I don't think they wanted to see us. I think everyone, you know, you're always looking for a team that's hot, and obviously with our, you know, guys on this team that have played in a couple championship games, you know, their staff knew we had NCAA win experience and the right stuff to make another run. So yeah, I don't think they were super thrilled, and you know, it did feel like a later stage, but those games happened a little bit earlier, and with the field getting even better and better, it feels like those games are coming quicker. You know, whether it's some of the upstarts that are now becoming kind of more regulars, the New Hampshires, the Vermonts of the world that, you know, kind of arrived. Those are really tough teams, whether you get them in the first, second, third round, whatever it might be. So,
well, you alluded to this last Monday where you believe the draw went almost two according to Hoyle, where it was two numbers based and maybe some other factors didn't pop in there. It hasn't made your path any easier. I'm not saying that at all, but well, sometimes you get what you get when you just follow the numbers. So you told me the gang wasn't salty about it, but then you got an extra opportunity. They bang out two goals against the Lipscomb side that scored a bunch. The goal that Lipscomb scored on you was kind of fluky, and the two goals that Wake Forest scored on you, I mean, they're not out of the highlight reel. You have to be pleased with how your defense has played this first, let's see, 90 plus 90 plus 20, I think that's 200 minutes if I'm scoring correctly.
No, they've been playing. I mean, you know, even I thought the Michigan game, we gave up a couple chances. I would, you know, JT had to come up with some saves besides the goals, even though a couple of the goals were fantastic kind of individual plays. Take the goals aside, I thought we gave a couple chances that we shouldn't. And then Penn State, man, we were, I mean, you know, JT made a brilliant save on Mangione's late, you know, hit from distance. Just a beautiful save. But, man, that was really it in that game. So we're still defending really well. And the deflection, I mean, those are part of the game. And nothing we could have done about that first goal You can't say, man, we should have done this better. It's just the, those breaks happen for you sometimes, and they don't. And I hope that we get one of those breaks on Sunday against UVA. But our group's been playing well. I think we're unlocking all the phases of the game. And I do feel that now that we've won a really, really, really difficult road match. You might get that road match at your quarterfinal round if you're obviously still fortunate to be dancing, if you will. And if you haven't played on the road yet in the tournament, it can. I think this group would handle it well, but I feel like the momentum of we just went to Wake and we took care of them. Now we go to this group's now. They know how good UVA is. There's tons of respect, but I feel like that actually momentum wise. Is actually a good thing for us. If we had won this game at home and then had to go to UVA, I still feel confident, but I really feel good about the fact that we had to go on the road at a place that a lot of teams don't win. They've been as good as an ACC team as anyone, and we took care of it. I think that will give the group more confidence going to UVA for the game on Sunday.
We talked about the Big Ten tournament being excellent prep for the NCAA tournament because you did some things. You had a 2-0 lead, then a 2-1 that you had to defend. You got into a goal fest, as you mentioned, with Michigan, 4-3. You had a 3-1 lead in that match before finally killing them off, and then a cagey final with Penn State. What we hadn't had to talk about was your squad trailing. You hadn't trailed since Northwestern back 150 years ago. And, you did it twice on Sunday. The first goal, again, deflected it in halftime, and then the second goal, a penalty. All right, great. At halftime, I thought you could have been 4-1, 4-2 ahead. What was that team talk like? Because it was the first time you had trailed in some time.
Yeah, it was really, the guys felt it. I mean, they were like, man, how are they, they're all kind of looking around as we're talking about scenarios. Like, guys, it's coming. We knew they didn't handle defending their box well in general. Their box defending, their ability to clear the lines was not a strength. They'd given up a decent amount of goals on restarts. So I really had the group, and here's a group that hasn't been scored on restarts all year. So it wasn't like we were, at the prime of that particular aspect of our game, but our guys believed and we just, every time we got in around the box, I felt like, man, we're going to get a good look on goal. And whether it was through our press or whether it was just through a normal run of play, our restarts were very dangerous. And we were getting second and third chances. So the talk was super positive, class. And although we hadn't been behind in a while, again, I think because the group has been, we were also down twice in the final, remember, 1-0, 2-1, came back, obviously didn't win in penalties, but they've been in the biggest game possible down. And so I don't think they don't get rattled, and they kept focused. So it was a really positive group. To give up the penalty, I think the good news is that the timing, we had some time. I think give that goal up with, 5-6 minutes left.
You're in big trouble.
I think one of the most difficult, it's more difficult. And I think they knew we were dangerous on game, and they're like, man, this is a decent amount of time. And I don't think Wake can sit and just absorb. That's not in their DNA. So I just felt like we would still get some chances, and we did. And
that was the only time I felt that Wake pulled you apart. I thought you were really good in recovery and not giving the balls over the top to the speedier players. Again, that's part of your DNA, is not getting out caught. You got caught out one time. Okay, they made you pay for it. But I thought you were really organized for the 110 minutes.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they did catch us in that moment, and you obviously are you're always trying to give to get somewhere, and we felt like we could handle those moments well, and good teams, can make a play, and they did make a play, and they were able to convert with it. But at the same time, some of the things we were getting from our line of confrontation was also giving us our chances. So
your press was immaculate. I thought that was one of the best, whatever the proper term for that is. They didn't have a lot of answers for what you were throwing at them.
No, I thought we handled a lot of their, and we did it in a couple of different ways, with the way we defended our wide midfielders, helped in a few scenarios, the way our two strikers helped. We were in lockstep. Yes, I thought it was very well they read each other's cues really well on when we didn't duplicate roles, which can be sometimes tricky when you have to solve the scenarios, because it wasn't this is the only way we're going to defend. You know, here are the different scenarios, and we spent a good amount of time on video with, okay, here are these scenarios when we get into these positions. You know, here's how we could solve them. So, yeah, it felt Marshall-esque in a sense. I thought Marshall last year in the round of 16, that was a really, really good defensive performance in just the spacing our press. And we're good with that a lot, but I thought that was kind of one of our heightened moments of that. And then obviously we gave Marshall, who everyone felt was, you know, one of the best attacking teams. You know, JT had one foot save that was not even difficult in 90 minutes. And yet Wake, you know, had a couple good chances, obviously late, and they broke through us, which a good team's going to. Yeah, really, really pleased with our defending and how we're able to get chances in different ways.
And let's talk about your fitness before we get into the part two, when we'll get into the activity and the goal mouth at both ends. Playing 110 minutes, you guys look like you could have played 110 more. What a testament to your training staff and your kids who buy into it. As Sir Alex Ferguson loves to say, fit is butcher's dogs. And boy, you guys look like you could run all day.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of that has been we have been leaning up the bench a bit. So the guys that we push in these later games, I would say in the last third of the season in particular, but even more so in the last three or four, really conference tournament and now NCAA, they've been playing a lot of minutes. And so, you know, our biggest thing was like, can they continue to do this? Because that was a lot of games in you know, almost 2 weeks. When you count the Rutgers game, which was a lot of energy and then, you know, obviously a great emotional win. And then you go into three Big Ten games in a spell of a week. The travel was super helpful for us because we were home. But tough games, right? I mean, all of them in unique ways. And then you played a really dynamic Lipscomb, which really challenged us defensively with Jones and Spicer, two of the better attackers that we've faced. And then you got to turn around and go play Wake, who arguably might have as much attacking talent. And to do that with the resiliency of our press and guys playing 80, 90 minutes, in this case 110, was amazing. Yeah, I mean, We obviously, you know, I feel like we've scaled well, and a lot of that fitness has come from match fitness, and obviously came in ready to go this year, and we've gotten guys quickly back from Knox. I mean, Brad and Eppelheimer and our medical team and Dr. LaGrange, I mean, they're pulling out some side volleys, some bikes class. I mean, these guys, every time I feel like a guy's got something, they're like, oh, we can get it taken care of. You know, and next thing you know, these kids are bouncing back. And they're ready to play again. It's amazing. So it's a team effort to get these guys healthy, but spot on. I think the fitness and the readiness has been really good.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer, the Hoosiers on the road, Charlottesville, Sunday, 1 o'clock, ESPN+. Again, for those of you who can't make it to Charlottesville, the round of 16. We'll be back with part two, our interview with Coach Yeagley. We'll do that next hour. Part two, Indiana men's soccer coach Todd Yeagley, the victorious Hoosiers, 3-2, an absolute thriller down in Winston-Salem last Sunday evening. The Hoosiers trailed 1-0, 2-1 before winning 3-2 in overtime. All 20 minutes will be played in overtime throughout the NCAA tournament. I know you voted against that, coach, but you're pretty well organized there after Hugo scored his second goal. We'll get to the goals here in a minute, but the way you closed that match out, we've kind of saw it with Lipscomb a little bit. We saw it with Penn State. That's drilled and trained and everything else, and that's part of finishing off big-time opponents.
Yeah, I did. I thought we finished the Penn State game. They created a couple of scenarios that we wish we would have done a little better with, but overall, the game's late-game management, we've done a nice job, and one kind of taking the space that we, you know, giving them some things, but at the same time still not sitting, giving them certain spaces based on, again, maybe the strengths of or weaknesses of that team. So every kind of game might have a different nuance to that. But, you know, Carson, I thought, was kind of a masterclass in Lipscomb game. I thought he kind of iced like 5 minutes by himself by getting his corners and throw-ins and just chugging away the clock. And every game kind of has those unique, you know, scenarios. But But going back last two, I mean, another thing, that IU crowd was amazing. I mean, you know, we travel well. You've been to a lot of them. I know a lot of your listeners have followed this team, and yeah, that was an amazing crowd. They were loud. We had the banners. They were right across the bench. You know, it had a little reminder of some other deep tournament games. You know, one of my favorite, 03 at UCLA, and we had the band. And I think we had as many fans that UCLA had that night. We've always traveled well, and I think Patrick McDonald's family was maybe a third of it.
Awesome.
He's got a big group. But no, it was, we had past players, we had past athletes, we had friends, we had fam. I mean, you name it. I was like, kept getting messages like, oh, so-and-so's coming. And it made a difference. Our guys really, really enjoyed having that element and going into someone else's, you know, home and giving that performance and feeling the support from our fans. And I hope we have a good group in Charlottesville, and I think we will, to help us with the next challenge.
22-12 in shots, 13-3 in corners. Well, that's not how they determine wins and losses, but it does give you an idea of the chances you had throughout the match. So when you trailed 1-0 and 2-1, as we briefly spoke about in our previous part here, it wasn't the end of the world. Wake Forest does play that style that gives you chance after chance after chance. And speaking of Patrick McDonald, well, they set the table for the tailgate, did the McDonald family, and then Patrick set the table for goal scoring. On the field, his first cross, well, not his first cross, his cross into Hugo's head, slip header into the net, boom, 1-1. How did that change the mood on the sideline?
Oh, that was, yeah, I mean, we talked to halftime of you know, we saw some different things in the corner kick setup, so we switched Patty onto the end swinger and put Hugo in a spot we thought he could make a play. They didn't have anyone on the back post, so we thought a redirect at that spot that we were attacking was going to be potentially really beneficial, and the delivery was fantastic, and Hugo's glance header was, you know, he made it look easy. It's still not an easy technique. You almost have to take enough off of the pace of the ball, and there's obviously a lot of spin going on. Fantastic serve, great goal. And I think that just got the ignition even going more when it came to like, okay, guys, that's one restart, but the ball's been bouncing around for about the last six restarts. and then lo and behold, it's the sniffer kind of ball bouncing around that we get number two. And that was, I thought, a little bit of the irony of the game. And then Hugo's goal in the third, you can't quite even put that in a capsule. That's one for the ages.
And here's why you can. And I talked about this earlier in the week, and I'll go back to the head coach at Wake Forest comments here in a minute because I know you haven't seen them. It's easy to quit on the ball. It's easy to say, okay, well, that's not where I want it. That's not on my forehead. That's not what we talked about. So I'm just either gonna get out of the way or let it go. But throwing your leg at it, just to deflect it, kind of like Maloon trying to get out of the way, knocks it down for Henderlong. It's not something you perhaps train, but that's soccer instinct. And if you don't have that in a player, or if you don't have that guy, he's just running along saying, well, that's bad service. You don't know what happens. But he sticks his foot out, and great things happen. And Wake Forest's head coach after the game said they were three soft goals that Indiana scored. And I let him have it yesterday. I'm not going to revisit that, but this is coming from a coach who had a cross from the end line deflected and in, and a penalty. And he's talking about soft goals. Which part of those were soft? I didn't think so. Restarts, set pieces, all the things that you talk about on this program all the time, and you score two restarts and a sniffer.
No, it's, you know, it's all fine. I mean, I'm not sure. I think there's a little deflection going on there with their coach. I think, you know, it's rare they get outshot.
How about doubled outshot?
Yeah, and even their possession, which they take such pride in, and we had the ball more than they did statistically. So I think he was, you know, kind of searching for some things. But regardless, Glass, I mean,
that's what you guys do.
Goals are goals. Yeah, goals are goals, and it doesn't matter how they come. There's no bonus for a beautiful goal from distance like Balloon scored in the quarterfinal last year at Greensboro. My goodness, I'd love every goal to look like that.
Amen.
But they don't. And like you said, it's we celebrate making plays that aren't, you know, glorious, if you will. And when I say that, just making a gritty play or not giving up on a play. When you know that there's no other option. Now, if you take a ball away from a teammate that maybe has a better look, then yeah, that's not a good thought. But in Hugo's case, there was really nothing else on the plate. It was that was the play. It was instinctual. He saw it, he reacted, and he absolutely scored a glorious goal for us. And that's not soft.
I don't think so.
Making a play. Yeah,
and the service was fantastic as well. It's got to be in the right area. Right. It was. And you had multiple opportunities to get him right and to have the hometown kid, well, almost the hometown kid, the Greensboro kid, down the street whip in that service. And then the transfer story of the year, moving him from defense into the midfield. It didn't change your team, but, boy, it sure enhanced it. I think that there's a difference in that. But you saw how valuable – we saw how valuable that movement, that role was on Sunday and getting him into the attacking third.
Yeah, I mean, he's still, you know, he's, I mean, there were so many moments too that I thought he had, or Patty, you know, broke through and was able to kind of generate the first phase of our attack through transition or just, you know, a building moment through our back line. But he brings an element, his ability to have composed moments in transition, which a lot of guys, you know, in that are normally a center back wouldn't have the composure and feel to go, okay, I got a little more time here. I can make this pass or I can find this space and not panic, is really the impressive part class. I mean, those are things that take a little more time when you're dealing with space that you normally don't have to occupy because everything's in front of you as a center back. And now he's got to deal with a lot of decisions. And there's been times, I mean, Lipscomb was a good example. He, you know, he got caught a few times being a little indecisive and yet, so we still know Hugo's not the finished product in midfield, but it really has given us a different element, allows us to, if we want to bypass midfield, he gives us an ability to win head balls up the field and create, you know, opportunities to get behind from a set piece. It's just, again, another way to generate an attack. And once you kind of know what you feel you can get against opponent, you want all those at your disposal. And then you decide how you want to, you know, deploy. But he's given us these different – and obviously teams that are playing direct against us, I mean, we typically at Glass are on the smaller side of most of our opponents. Well, all of a sudden
– Not anymore.
The game. Now, not anymore. I mean, it just gives us a different element. So it, all those things just kind of pile on, and it's been really good. And you know, obviously some of the guys like with Jack Wagner, who's been really good for us, like he's ready, and he's been an amazing teammate, knowing that obviously his minutes have declined since Hugo's insertion, and yet looks like he's the guy that, you know, is starting the training. He's ready to go. He's focused. He's super positive. I mean, that's when you know you got a great team and a great culture within your program, is that the guys are all knowing that it's whoever's turns up to get the job done. We're all going to celebrate and enjoy, you know, the run that we're on.
3-2 winners over Wake Forest last Sunday. This Sunday, it's off to Charlottesville, the 7th-seeded UVA Cavaliers. We'll get to them in just a second. But how proud were you, pleased with you, the front four, the rotations you had through there? Carson Henderlong, even Clay Mirador got some time. You kept fresh legs moving through there to keep that press on and keep Wake Forest on their heels. I thought that was another key part to, again, keeping them at arm's length on Sunday.
Yeah, we were watching close. I mean, as guys, you know, it's also when you get this phase of the year too, that like all the guys, like you feel like the temps are a little better, right, Glass? There's so much adrenaline. There's so much excitement. You can squeeze it a little bit more. And so I think the fatigue is we're seeing less of, and that's partly just from the excitement of the opportunity. But in particular, Clay, I thought was important to get him into a game like that, because he is a player who's been battling some injuries, that he's now back and he's a different player for us. Like he could give us a weapon that I think we might need in a certain segment of a game in these, you know, obviously game to game at this point, but we hope to be playing four more, but I thought it was good to get him in that game. And as soon as we got the goal, it was now about, okay, this is the defensive part. We need to make sure we are solid, and he's still learning all of those nuances. So that's why I put Tommy back in. Then he also took a little bit of a hit to his foot. But anyhow, he gave us a really important little shift. Carson's been really good for us in his minutes, not only his production, but his ability to hold the ball. His pressing is so improved. I mean, my goodness, from the day he arrived here to now, he's a different player when it comes to what we need him to do within our defensive scheme. He's a great teammate. He's always positive. Of course, wanting more minutes, but knowing that whatever he gets, he can help. So, yeah, I think it's that's what you want. I mean, the locker room's really, really strong, and you need that. I mean, without it, you're not going to go as far as any as you want, and it just doesn't happen. And so it gives you the best chance to win games. And now we got to go out and make plays Sunday. But I love where we are mentally and physically, and also just as a unit, feeling really good.
Klockner Stadium, University of Virginia Charlottesville campus. The Cavaliers unbeaten in 10, outscoring their opponents 18-6, and have won their unbeaten at home in their last 11 games. Well, last Sunday, they only had 5 shots on goal. 2 of them found the back of the net from their captain Alfonso, including the bicycle kick that he turned in overtime to be the deciding factor. Virginia 2, FIU 1. All right, little history between the teams. We know that's how your career ended. AJ Wood, give me a break. Anyhow, little history between the teams here, buddy. And, well, the ACC road trip continues through Tobacco Road.
It does. And, you know, I'm excited. I've not been to UVA as a player, a coach, which is really strange to say that. I mean, here you have two blue bloods. I mean, they've been, second to us in titles since our varsity. You know, we're 8, they're 7. The other numbers, we have a really good separation, college cups and NCAA winning and deep runs. We have a much higher mark, but they're a blue blood. No two ways about it. And for us to meet, and I'm excited. It obviously was a game that, as a college student, you know, it's one that, you know, you never get back, and you know, you kind of live through your kids, right, and everything you do, and I'm living through these kids, not only for our program, but, you know, kind of for me personally, to be able to play UVA again, and I'm excited for this opportunity. They're really good class. They've gone a little bit more international the last 5, 7, 10 years, which has been a change from what UVA was, you know, even again, just a short time ago. And some of these players are really, really good. And it's going to be a great game. I mean, this is what excites you. And I just feel like our guys are in a really good spot to give us our best chance to win this game. And that's all you can ask for. And that's why I feel really confident going in there.
White meat or dark meat, buddy?
Dark meat for me.
Attaboy, attaboy.
Yeah, just a little juicier, but I'll take a little bit of both.
Well, yeah,
I'm not that picky. As you can see from my sideline demeanor, I don't typically push any food away. But
that
I'm
makes
trying to
us,
push.
That
yeah, trying to us. Push the other the not so good food away. But I am excited for a nice meal with the team, and we're pretty pumped to spend this week together.
Our listeners appreciate it. I appreciate it even more, the time you've taken for the last handful of years, every Wednesday or whatever day we come up with. Let's have one more. Let's just have one more till we get to our next one more, and have one more bite of turkey for
good.
Me, buddy.
That would be good. We're getting a lot closer to that College Cup, which is, as we know, 2 hours south.
Not bad.
So let's all get the work done and But you never lose sight of the horizon of what's ahead as you kind of go through the moment. So we're very focused on Sunday, and we know that needs to happen before anything else. But it's this whole season and run is just got a really good feel right now of where this team can go. So let's have everyone hopefully, you know, stay tuned and keep loving this team up, because they feel it. That makes a big difference.
Tell your mom and dad happy Thanksgiving, Susie as well, and your boys, and best of luck on Sunday. For those who will not be in the building, we will be on ESPN Plus watching. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, class.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer. Round of 16. It's that time of year. Tudor Room Turkey. It means you're in the tournament, and it means you're deep in the tournament. We're all excited for Indiana men's soccer, and we hope we get a chance to talk to Todd next week.